Welcome to the NLX Dynasty Daily Podcast. I'm your host, Jordan McNamara, and we are diving into some team previews here. So this will be the first one. Going to start NFC East. I think I did AFC last year, but so start at NFC East. And we're going to start with the Dallas Cowboys. So some changes here. Lost Lyle Collins, lost Connor Williams on the offensive line, lost Amari Cooper, lost Cedric Wilson as well. We're able to add in some players. Tyler Smith, offensive tackle, take Jalen Tolbert as well. In the third, in the fourth, they took Jake Ferguson. Dalton Schultz is on a franchise tag. Ferguson's a guy that could potentially, down the line, develop into something. He's probably not a big-time hold for this year, but ultimately maybe a little bit further down the line type of play. You know, we see that a lot, honestly, with whether it's like Tyler Conklin types or him specifically, and then Dalton Schultz, right, and his teammate, or Ferguson's teammate. Those two guys, we see kind of this a little bit later breakout time for some of these guys. So you could see Ferguson being a guy, maybe, you know, if it's next year or, you know, starts to develop a little bit, and maybe in year three that he could become relevant there. Be an interesting sort of watch there. All right, so let's break down some of the 2021 data here. 66.8 plays per game, that ranks second in the league, so lots of volume there. Dropbacks, 41.5, that was seventh. And then design rushing attempts, 25.2, that's eighth. So pretty voluminous offense there. They rank second in pacing as well. Design pass rate of 59.7%. That is good for 15th in the league. You look, they did a lot of their work. It was largely spread out a little bit more in the, you know, a little, they were 19th in terms of rank of passes behind the line of scrimmage, 10th in short passes, 21st in medium rank passes, and 8th in deep passes. So not really a huge bias there. 7.7 yards per attempt passing, that was good for 6th in the league. 40 touchdown passes, a touchdown rate of 6.2%, that is good for 4th. Sack rate of 4.7%, that is actually good for the 27th highest. So again, really good at preventing sacks there. It would be the takeaway from that. A scramble rate of only 3.1%. When you think of that for Dak Prescott, that's an interesting, you would think it should be higher, and in the pre-injury phase of Dak Prescott's career, was running much more. So he's an interesting one in terms of, is there more ceiling in terms of some of the passing offense? In some of the rushing offense in addition to the passing offense there. Ranked 17th in play action percentage, so right there at the median, about neutral in terms of that. So it was actually one of the worst performances by any team in terms of performance on play action. So there's probably some ceiling there that they can potentially get. They ranked 10th in terms of running back routes run per dropback, 14th. Targets per dropback, 15th in receptions per dropback, and 16th in yards per dropback for the running back position. So friendlier at the running back position, but not a huge, huge ceiling type of situation. They ranked 14th in terms of routes, but really productive on the routes, 8th in terms of targets, 8th in terms of receptions per dropback, and 6th in terms of yards. So they really passed over what they were expected based on the route. So good receiving core. Same with the tight end, 16th in terms of tight end routes per dropback, 13th in terms of targets, 11th in terms of receptions per dropback, and 13th in terms of yards per dropback. They had 173 plays in the red zone. That's good for top 10, 8th. That's really good. Red zone rush rate was 41%, ranked 19th. So really pass heavy in the red zone. They ranked 20th in terms of red zone running back run rate. So that, when you think of that, that is about a quarter of the time you had someone other than the running back. So whether it be receiver or quarterback running in the red zone there. a notable, you know, it's probably a ceiling capping situation for a team with, you know, in need of rushing touchdowns in particular for Zeke. So just be aware of that. Not that huge ceiling, but again, the difference between, you know, like 10th and 20th is about 4%. So it's not a huge, huge difference, but a thing to watch for there. Their running backs ranked 11th in terms of expected points per game at 25.5. Their receivers ranked, I'm sorry, it was 25.4. The receivers ranked 5th in terms of wide receiver expected points per game at 40.9. And their tight ends ranked, they were at 11th with 13.8 points per game. When you look, some of their, again, there's concern that you would have about some of their, the changing of their offense. It does give me some pause in terms of where they're at. They ranked 3rd in terms of PFF pass grade last year and 1st in terms of PFF run grade. So not great there in terms of a lot of change. Don't really love to see that with Lyle Collins, Connor Williams both being lost and inserting a rookie in there. Never a great sign with all of that. We look to quarterback expected points last year, and you see with Dak Prescott, again, he played 6 games. Cooper Rush had the one really good start. Dak, right about it even. So he's expected for 23.8 points per game. He was, he scored 23.8 points per game, was expected for 23.5. So just over the number there. When you look, expected touchdowns was right on the number at 37. Yardage was a little bit higher in terms of basically 230 passing yards above expectation. He performed better in terms of interception rate as well. So some good stuff there, and didn't get a ton of puck luck in terms of your touchdowns. So I think that's an interesting one for Dak, is can he get a little bit luckier in terms of some of the, the stats here going forward in terms of maybe getting some better touchdown luck. He did rank top 6 in terms of attempts per game as well. When you look at the receiving core, I think the big question here will be, what's this offense look like in a post Amari Cooper world, post Cedric Wilson as well. We've got Lamb, we got Gallup, right? Those are the big ones there in terms of this offense is really going to be, I think, different is probably the word, right? Lamb should have a lot of opportunity. We'll see if he can capitalize on it. We've talked a little bit about some of the concerns that I have with him from a perimeter perspective. Has been a big time out wide receiver in his career, and again, only has run, in terms of targets per game, 7.25. It's not a dominant number. Has only run his route participation being 75.8%. So that's not dominant either in terms of where those stats are. It gives you just a little bit of pause in terms of expecting huge, huge upticks in volume. So he did perform over expectation in terms of receiving yards last year. He basically accounted for almost all of the receiving yards over expectation for the team. So that's a good note there. That's also probably Dak Prescott stat. However, 26th in terms of expected points per game, 21st in terms of points per game. So again, lots of way to jump up there. Amari Cooper was 29th in both points per game and expected points per game. Michael Gallup, 44th in terms of expected points per game, and then 47th in terms of actual points per game. When you look, I think the real dominant thing for Lamb, if you were to say there was a dominant thing, his yards per route run was at 2.06. That was 92nd percentile. When you look, his expected yards per route run was 1.84. Again, that's 78th percentile. So his expected yards per route run was 83rd percentile. His performance over expectation was 78th percentile. So good there across the board. High value targets. Again, he was 87th percentile in terms of points per route run as well. Since some valuable routes need more volume, I think would be the big thing there. Gallup kind of performed right about the median in all those stats. 56th percentile in terms of yards per route run. 56th percentile in terms of expected yards per route run, 54th percentile in terms of points per route run, and 56th percentile in expected points per route run. That's the big concern, is there's just not a huge amount of ceiling there for Gallup. When you look at the running back situation, I do think I think we might... As a dynasty community, we do this thing where we kind of write off running backs in their mid-age. Just keep one stat in mind for a second. When you go into, you know, it's like that thing where they say, hey, when you go into the voting booth, think about this. When you go into your draft, I want you to just remember this. Or you go into your trade negotiations or whatever, and you see a debate saying, hey, Tony Pollard's going to be a big-time value uptick guy, yada, yada, yada. Because of some of the receiving volume and all that stuff, right? Zeke, 420 routes last year. Tony Pollard, 168. It's a pretty clear breakdown, right? Zeke, basically 59.5% of routes he's running, dropbacks he's running a route on, so basically 60%, and it is just short of 24% there for Pollard. So that's a big difference. In fairness to Pollard, he is more efficient on a route run basis. I do think that has to do with his expectations way higher. I do think that has to do with how he is used specifically and the like there. But his expected yards per route run, significantly higher. I think if you gave him 420 routes, his expectation would look a lot lower. And they do scheme up pretty specific stuff for him. Like, he was targeted on 26.2% of his routes. That's an enormous number. So that is really speaking to a different usage compared to like a 15% for Tony Pollard, Zeke Elliott there. So I do think Pollard's an interesting guy as an injury away type, but I have some pause on him. Like, I think betting on him to overtake Zeke is probably a missed. That's just missing the mark there. For me, Zeke ranked fourth in terms of routes per game. Again, there's a lot of volume there. And he ranked 15th in terms of targets per game at 3.7. Force missed tackles, which is a stat that I really like to look at. Zeke forces a missed tackle once every 12.5 carries. That is good for 72nd. At the position in terms of guys with over 50 carries. So pretty rough there. I know he dealt with some injury stuff, so you hope that he has a little bit of positive progression there. Pollard did it once every 4.8 carries, so significantly more often than Zeke did. We'll see if there's some work there. Again, but I think Zeke's locked in under contract, and we kind of have seen the prior of this. We kind of know how this story goes. People talk all offseason about Pollard taking out a big role, and then you see top five routes at the position in the entire league for Zeke Elliott. And, you know, it's like rinse and repeat. It's kind of like Groundhog Day with this offense. At the tight end position, we're going to watch Schultz, you know, any long-term extension here, where he's at. He played 17 games last year, over expectation. He caught 78 balls, was expected for 71, so you like that. So across the board, over expectation. So good stuff there for him. 14.3 target share. You can see that going up. Ninth in terms of expected points per game. He scored fifth in terms of actual points per game there. So good over expectation. Good over expectation in terms of yards per route run and points per route run as well. 97th percentile in terms of routes participation, right? How many dropbacks he's running route on. Really high involvement. So that's what you like. You either like super high involvement, you like the Logan Thomas paradigm, or you like the Mark Andrews mega efficiency on questionable volume, and then that bridging to a breakout. Like, those are the two profiles you really want to look at for difference makers. And Schultz, a big volume guy, for sure. Did perform over expectation with a relatively high expectation as well. So good stuff there. He's in like the top 30th percentiles in terms of, top 20th percentile in terms of expected yards per out run, top 30 percentile in terms of performance over expectation there. Interesting spots all across for him. You know, I think you look at situations where you could see an uptick in volume. Certainly Lamb, certainly Schultz, if healthy. Gallup, you got the question mark. And, you know, those are the big, I think, potential beneficiaries here of this offense. You look in terms of current, I'm recording this middle of June here, current dynasty cost, Dak quarterback 7, Zeke running back 25. That's a target spot, certainly. Pollard 31.5. Lamb is at wide receiver 3. Gallup is at wide receiver 50. Tolbert is at wide receiver 58. And Dalton Schultz is at tight end 8. Going down the underdog ADP, I think your best overperformer really is Zeke, which shouldn't be a surprise. He's projected running back 16 in underdog. He is, you know, well over expectation. Pollard right out about expectation. Going running back 29 in underdog. Dak, quarterback 7 in dynasty and quarterback 10 in underdog. And then you look Lamb, wide receiver 3 in dynasty, wide receiver 6 in underdog. 54th for Gallup, 66th for Tolbert, and then 6th for Schultz at underdog. So over his dynasty cost there. And he's probably fairly priced, right? You don't really try and sort those guys out super, super much in terms of just letting the cost come to you is more the takeaway that I have at the tight end position outside of the elite guys. And I wouldn't characterize Schultz as an elite guy. He's a fine player, but he's not someone that you really try and sort out too much here going forward from that tier. You just sort of let that tier fall to you, right? That's kind of my take there. So overall, I think Dak, I think Dak's probably, the guy that we are maybe most on versus the market would be what I would say. High ownership of him. Football Guys has him at actually quarterback 7. It's relatively close in the tier of like quarterback 7 to quarterback 10. That's only a handful of points actually to 11 for Stafford. So we project at Football Guys is like a 7-point difference between quarterback 7 and quarterback 11. So for what that's worth, that's a really tight range of the position. When you look for Dak Prescott, Mike Clay, for example, has him 3rd in terms of passing attempts behind only Brady and Mahomes, which is interesting. Actually, 4th is Davis Mills, which is, when you think about that, pretty wild. And I don't disagree. This is where I actually even disagree with that. So, and again, 32 passing touchdowns there. So hopefully some potential for maybe some improvement on a rate basis and the like there. Mike Clay is actually positive as well on the offensive line in terms of their grades. We shall see. Some health there, I think, would probably be good. As we sort this out, they got Tyron Smith at left tackle, Zach Martin at right guard. You're trying to fill in the spots there around it as well. So we'll watch for that. And I think I've been actually pitched with the idea. I'm not entirely sure I buy this, but I'm pitched with the idea that this division could be better in terms of, their defense could be worse. They lost some defensive talent, particularly with their edge rusher there, Randy Gregory. And you could see a situation where the Giants are better, where Washington could be better, Philly could be better as well, and their defense has gotten worse, and all of a sudden this could be a situation where you're really potentially cooking with gas here in 2022 from a volume perspective. But again, the high pace, the high volume of passing offense, you really, really like that. And they start as underdogs in the first 2 weeks, home versus Tampa, home versus Cincinnati, and then it's the Giants and Washington the next 2 weeks, and followed by the Rams and Philly. So going to get a test early on and could potentially see all, you know, it's at least the first couple of games, and then really weeks 5 and 6 again, those, there could be shootouts in there. So be interested to watch that and see where they at early on in the season. I think Zeke probably maybe one of your best bets here in terms of trying to beat market cost. You know, you think about my dynasty and RDP, my RDP and underdog spreads. Zeke's probably your best bet here in terms of the Dallas Cowboys. All right, well, that'll do it for this episode. And until next time, continue embracing the variance. We'll talk again very soon.